It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
As the Homeland Security Secretary headed to the southern border to address a crisis she likened to dealing with a Cat 5 hurricane, after meeting with President Trump, Arizona's governor today said the president is still open to closing the border.
If that were the situation, we would be supportive of it and want it to be as short as possible.
As Fox News reported yesterday, the White House is developing various plans to close border crossings yet keep commerce flowing. The chief economic advisor today saying trade must go on regardless.
One area we've explored is to try to keep the freight lanes open, the truck lanes. And I've talked to various officials in DHS and others who are more knowledgeable than I, and that is possible.
Democrats continue to criticize what they say is the folly of closing the border.
It would be an economic disaster for us in Texas. We have an enormous amount of trade with Mexico.
Yeah, so that was the partial report of John Roberts last night on Special Report on Fox. Sandy Rios with you this morning. It's an ongoing problem, you know that, an ongoing crisis. We see it every day and every morning. I give you more information, which I'm going to do right now. Here's a headline. Previously deported illegal alien arrested on 100 counts of child porn. He was arrested in Louisiana. Louisiana. I thought it was Mississippi. Louisiana. On 100 counts of child porn. But it turns out he had been arrested for the same thing, convicted of sex crimes in California, a registered sex offender in the Golden State. And yet, here he is, an illegal immigrant in our country, perpetrating who knows what on our children. And then, of course, here's another story that you probably won't hear. This is a tweet that went out from someone in Virginia. Meet Yasmin Tayeb, an illegal immigrant from Iran whose family invaded America and is running as a Democratic candidate for state senate in Virginia's 35th district. For the 2019 election, that would, she must be 2020 election. Tayeb and her family made their way to Mexico and climbed through a hole in the fence at the southern border. That's from someone named Emmy Meck. And then, of course, here's an article by Terrence Jeffrey. Terrence is just a great writer. I haven't heard his stuff in a long time. I knew him pretty well in Washington. Terrence is a writer for CNS News. And this is, and he does a lot of research, and this is what he's found. The five federal court districts that sit along the U.S.-Mexico border were the top five districts in the country for the number of defendants they convicted and sentenced to imprisonment in fiscal 2018. All right, now follow his numbers here to the conclusion. The U.S. District Court for the Western District of Texas ranked number one. It convicted 8,179 criminal defendants and sentenced 7,126 of them to imprisonment in the last fiscal year. It was followed by the Southern District of Texas. He gives numbers on that. The Southern District of California, District of Arizona, District of New Mexico. The combined jurisdictions of these five federal district courts cover the U.S.-Mexico border from Pacific to the Gulf Coast. And then he says there are 94 federal court districts. His conclusion is that the lesson is that political leaders of this nation have known for years that the sort of criminal activity that is prosecuted in federal courts, as demonstrated by the government's own data on federal court convictions, is disproportionately focused along the nation's southern border. And they have not fixed it. Which reminds me of Mitch McConnell in an exchange yesterday with the press saying this.
The president has discussed closing the border with Mexico in the process of border security information. Would Congress do anything in response if he did that?
Well, we certainly have a crisis at the border. I think the president's right about that. Closing down the border would have potentially catastrophic economic impact on our country. And I would hope we would not be doing that sort of thing.
Yeah. So you see, I mean, if you heard the question, he said last part of it was, we have this problem. Will Congress be doing anything about it? And Mitch McConnell, well, yes, we certainly have a problem. We certainly have a problem down there, but no, we can't close the border. That way, that would be so detrimental financially. So, you know, unlike the president, the billionaire president who cares very much about money and finance and building the economy of the United States, who has said that to him, our security is greater than the issues of the economy, not so for Mitch McConnell. I mean, I know I hit Mitch McConnell almost daily, but there's a lot to hit here. I just went through a briefing yesterday on the Green New Deal. Fascinating. I'm going to be bringing some of the presenters to your attention on the air soon. But the overriding theme, after we laid out the problem with the Democrats introducing this ridiculous socialist draconian plan, you know, to do away with air travel. To tear down buildings everywhere, to control people's lives in unbelievable ways. It's just a socialist, totalitarian document to take over, really, everyone's life. It's stunning and breathtaking. Instead of the Republicans fighting back, though, I'll tell you what they're doing. They're forming committees to figure out how they should move. They should embrace man-made global warming and climate change. They've been a little unreasonable on that, and so they should form committees and try to figure out how they can come up with their policies to combat what really is false science. So this is what happens. Rather than fighting back, and the same thing on healthcare, rather than doing away with Obamacare, which they swore they would, they're looking for ways to accommodate it. Rather than making the case and presenting other kinds of plans, making the case for free market economy, they move to the left and come up with another form of Obamacare that maybe is better. They're going to outdo the Democrats. That's what they're doing. This is what they're doing. It's maddening. It's just maddening. But this is what's happening. Well, in regard to the Mueller report, Catherine Herridge had a good report last night. So let's listen to that. Then I have some things to add to it. Let's listen.
The congressional subpoenas ramp up the pressure on the attorney general as Republicans warn Democrats may be overplaying their hand.
Mr. Chairman, the vote is 24 ayes, 17 noes.
The vote along party lines clears the way for Democratic Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler to issue subpoenas for the Mueller report.
The Constitution charges Congress with holding the president accountable for alleged official misconduct. That job requires us to evaluate the evidence for ourselves.
As Republicans accuse the New York Democrat of forcing the issue.
We have a preemptive chairman who has gone out with preemptive subpoenas today on a report that's already been promised him. This is nothing but political theater.
While the chairman did not immediately issue the subpoena, giving the attorney general more time to provide the full investigation, including grand jury material and underlying evidence, the threat of compulsory process escalates the tension.
We're not willing to let the attorney general, who after all is a political appointee of the president, make that substitute his judgment for ours.
I love that. That's Jared Nadler. Again, he's the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. We're not going to let that politically appointed bar by the president make this determination. We need to see the whole thing right now. And we demanded it as of yesterday. And so, but of course, I want to remind you that Gerald Nadler had a really strong response when Ken Starr came out with his report on Bill Clinton and whether he had committed impeachable offenses. And at that time, let's listen to clip 14 again. We listened to it a couple of days ago, but it's worth repeating, given that report. Here's Gerald Nadler in 1998 in regard to the Starr report.
As a matter of decency and protecting people's privacy rights, people who may be totally innocent, third parties, what must not be released at all? It's grand jury material. It represents statements which may or may not be true by various witnesses, salacious material, all kinds of material that it would be unfair to release.
What a difference a day makes, or a few years, you know. I mean, it's just amazing, the hypocrisy. It really is. It's worse than hypocrisy, though, because it's just dangerous. I had a conversation with an older gentleman last night, and he was asking me, he said, Sandy, when I was growing, he's in his 80s, late 80s, it was his birthday, actually. He said, when I was young, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans, they fought all the time, but they they tried to get along and they agreed on things. You know, they tried to work, you know, for what was best for America. And I said, do you really not, sir, do you really not know the difference now? He said, oh, yeah, I guess I think I do. I said, it's not about parties anymore. It's about one side that wants to destroy the system, hates it, wants to undermine it, do away with the Constitution, do away with all the Bill of Rights, and restructure and change this country, fundamentally change it, as Barack Obama said, and people who still love the country. That's the fight now. And so that was Gerald Nadler. I want to say that the left is busy because today they're calling for what they call rapid response events. They want demonstrations all over the country today to object to William Barr not releasing that report, as Gerald Nadler and the committee had demanded. He says he's going to release it. They're busy combing over it. I don't know how long it is. There's some vagueness about how long the report is, but as I understand it, it's long. They're trying to go through it with a fine-tooth comb for the very reasons that Nadler spelled out in 1998. Nevertheless, the left, and this would be MoveOn.org, Public Citizen, Indivisible, Stand Up America, Common Cause, People for the American Way, are organizing rallies all over. They put out maps, demonstrations near you. You can find it if you'd like to protest, because they'll be everywhere today protesting this ridiculous demand. All right, Catherine wasn't through with her report. Let's go back to Catherine Herridge and listen.
Under the federal rules for criminal procedure, grand jury materials can only be released under limited circumstances with a court order, which Democrats do not have, leaving the attorney general, Republicans say, to violate the laws he swore to uphold.
Otherwise, the Justice Department puts itself in the same position as a grand jury witness who breaks the secrecy rule, and that's a federal crime.
The House Intelligence Committee's Democratic chairman wants even more.
Our paramount interest is in the counterintelligence investigation, and that's how this all began.
The chairman of the Intelligence Committee telling all 17 intelligence agencies over which he had oversight, essentially, I don't give a damn about classified information.
While the special counsel found no evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russian officials, Robert Mueller reached no conclusion on obstruction over the president's firing of FBI Director James Comey.
Attorney General attempted to swat away the idea of any Russian coordination, therefore refused to move forward on the obstruction.
But Republicans say their colleagues just can't let go.
Why are we here? Seems to me we're here because the Mueller report wasn't what the Democrats thought it was going to be.
Chairman Nadler also has the authority now to issue subpoenas for five former White House aides, including strategist Steve Bannon, White House counsel Don McGahn, and communications chief Hope Hicks-Brett.
Catherine.
All right, so that's the gist of it. But several things I want to share with you in the few minutes that I have. William McGurn of Wall Street Journal Report had a really interesting article called Mueller Exposes Spy Chiefs. And he examines the document, and he says, or at least William Barr's four pages, he said, Mr. Mueller could have said he didn't have enough evidence to prosecute. Instead, he was categorical. Quote, the investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. End quote. That's from Robert Mueller. This wasn't for lack of trying on Moscow's part. Despite multiple offers, and that's a quote from the report, from Russia-affiliated individuals to help their campaign, the Trump people didn't take them up on it. Yet, the professionals in the intelligence agencies, whether it's Clapper, Brennan, McCabe, they all said they had evidence. They all indicated that they had reasons. We now know it was only this tabloid dossier. They had no proof. And he includes Adam Schiff on it, that he lied. He said he had evidence when he did not have evidence. And he says that he thinks, McGurn says he thinks that this report by Mueller is going to expose all of these, what he calls spy chiefs, for the dereliction of their duty. They led the misled the American people and the media, and that was the reason why this thing got out of hand as much as it has. There's more to say, and so I will. I'll take a break and come right back. We're going to open the phone lines too. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Mm-hmm.
The Ministry of Preborn meets abortion-minded women right where they are. When a young mom sees her baby on ultrasound, she's 80% more likely to keep her baby.
And I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
This mom chose life for her baby.
She's been such a joy. Her name even means rebirth and sort of being raised up from the ashes. I now see my daughter, and I cannot imagine my life without my happy, lovely, joyful, smart baby, and I'm so grateful.
Preborn runs and leads Christian pregnancy centers all over the country. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
The movie Unplanned is the story of Abby Johnson, a former abortion center director who became a pro-life activist after witnessing an abortion for the first time herself. Hello, I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association, and you need to go see this movie, Unplanned. We've screened that here at American Family Association and American Family Radio. It is one of the most powerful films I've ever seen, and especially having to do with the pro-life issue. This was a woman who was very steeped in Planned Parenthood, and then she turned around, and God showed her what she was being a part of, and she left that and now speaks out on behalf of life. So it's a great story. It's a true story, and it's a movie that you want to go see, so make plans to do so.
Unplanned, now playing in select theaters nationwide. Not suitable for younger viewers.
This is Pause to Pray, a moment each day to pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Christopher L. Tuttle, Chief Financial Officer for the Federal Financing Bank. Mr. Tuttle leads the corporation that handles federal budget management issues for the United States. Psalm 24:1 reminds us of why it's important that we be good stewards. The earth and everything in it, the world and its inhabitants, belong to the Lord. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to guide Christopher Tuttle, that he may serve as a good steward for our country. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Pause to Pray is a service of the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
The fight over our founding fathers. That story coming up.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Blake Bramlett. I graduated in May of 2016, and I graduated with a degree in interdisciplinary studies, focusing in psychology and missions. The professors here at TMU have really impacted my life in more than one way. In the classroom, of course, but really honestly, what makes the experience at Truett better is that they're mentors to us.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
The founding fathers are fighting for their good names at two American universities. Students at George Washington University are calling for a new nickname. They say the Colonials celebrates imperialism needs to go. Hundreds signed a petition saying the Colonials nickname is extremely offensive to the rest of the world. And at Hofstra University in New York, Thomas Jefferson is under fire. Students want a statue of our third president removed from campus. They say Jefferson represents racism and slavery. So far, the universities have not announced their intentions. There is an effort afoot, ladies and gentlemen, to whitewash American history, to turn our past into history. I write about this issue in my new book, Culture Jihad. It's available right now for pre-orders. Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
There's a lot of things I know about Joe Biden. I've known him for a long time. He is extremely affectionate.
He's very affectionate. I find oddly affectionate. He kisses people on the mouth. He shouldn't. He's always touching people's shoulders.
I've seen him rub the shoulders of women and men.
Joe Biden calls them expressions
of affection.
He is an affectionate old school politician.
Uncle Joe, as we affectionately call him.
He's a very affectionate, very likable person.
So it's not surprising that he behaves in this way, that he's quite affectionate.
You know, he's just an affectionate guy.
I've known Joe Biden a long time, as have many others, and have always found him a very emotional man who is very, very affectionate.
You know, everyone in Washington knows that he is a guy who is very affectionate.
He's touchy-feely. He's been doing it his entire life in an affectionate way.
He's a very affectionate person.
He suffers from being overtly affectionate.
To say that, you know, Biden should change the way he is or that he needs to be less affectionate, I think is a problem. That's part of who he is.
I think the next time I see Joe Biden, if he doesn't hug me and give me a kiss and hold my hand, that's not the Joe Biden I knew. He's a nice guy. He's not a predator, and this is ridiculous. Let me just say it. This is ridiculous.
Well, tell us what you really think. You know, I'm beginning to think, you know, maybe I'm wrong about Joe. He's just a great guy, just affectionate. So I went back and looked at old videos that I had seen before. It's been a long time, you know, because it's been a long time. I don't even think I shared those on the air, because why should I? You know, he was vice president under Barack Obama, and so, you know, Barack Obama sucked up most of the oxygen in terms of the bad policies. Joe Biden did his share. Remember how he whispered in the president's ear, this is a big blanking deal when Obamacare was passed? I was looking at those videos, and I saw him. I can't repeat what he said. He said something very vulgar in at least one of them before the video was while the video was being taken and the congratulations were being meted out. So, and then I told you about him. I'm sorry I'm repeating this again, but I just, for emphasis, in his pool, diving nude in front of his female Secret Service agents who asked him please not to do that, and he ignored them. So I'm sorry. I think that Joe Biden is creepy, and I don't think it's that innocent. I just don't. And it may be, yes, I'm generally a defender. I don't like women making careless accusations, and I do not doubt that the women that are coming out now are Bernie Sanders supporters and trying to tank him. But that's a separate issue. I'm just saying, I think there's a problem with Joe Biden, and it's not all this warm, fuzzy stuff that people are talking about. But he made his video yesterday. This is what it sounded like. Let's listen.
I've always tried to make a human connection. That's my responsibility, I think. I shake hands. I hug people.
Former Vice President Joe Biden not apologizing, but saying he understands social norms are changing and that he's heard what these women are saying.
I get it. I hear what they're saying. I understand it. And I'll be much more mindful. That's my responsibility. My responsibility, and I'll meet it.
The taped response comes after two more women came forward accusing Biden of inappropriate contact. One of them is Caitlin Caruso, a 22-year-old former college student who says Biden put his hand on her thigh and hugged her too long at an event on sexual assault when she was 19. The other, DJ Hill, 59 years old, met Biden at a 2012 fundraiser in Minneapolis. She claims that when taking a photo with the vice president, he put his hand on her shoulder and then started dropping it down her back. While Biden says he will be more mindful about respecting personal space in the future, he even used the video as a bit of a tease.
The coming month, I expect to be talking to you about a whole lot of issues, and I'll always be direct with you.
Last night, President Trump, a target of several sexual misconduct claims, took notice of the attacks on Biden.
Our former vice president, I was going to call him, I don't know him well, I was going to say, welcome to the world, Joe. You having a good time, Joe?
The concern for those close to Biden is this appears to be an effort to kill his expected presidential campaign even before it launches.
You know, as I said in the last, I've repeated it 2 days in a row, Joe Biden, the concerns about Joe Biden, you can say this is a concern. I think it is. You know, I think it's pretty hard for women to say, somebody touched me on the back. And I mean, it needs to be more significant than that. And that's why I think these women are probably politically motivated. I don't know about the first one. I don't know. How would I know? But if you watch the videos, there's one of him coming up behind a young girl and nuzzling her, and she is so uncomfortable. You see her pulling away from him, and it goes on and on. Yeah, it's weird stuff. But I'm telling you, there are policy reasons. There are serious policy things that Joe Biden has done. I'd say unethical things, like having his son being charged with the dealings in a foreign country and having his son be on the board of directors there for Ukraine and making tons of money hand over fist. We're talking millions because his dad was overseeing all of it. The dad, you know, threatening Ukraine that they had to fire an investigator who was investigating his son's company. I mean, so those are the kinds of things that you could object legitimately against Joe Biden being president. And indeed, we probably will if he throws his hat in the ring. All right, I want to open the phone lines today about, you know, everything. I'm going to give you the phone number, but I'll start us off with a couple of things. This is just to go to your email and Facebook just for a second. This is from Cheryl. She says, we must get to the bottom of the FISA warrant and who did what, and justice must be served. If justice isn't served at all over this, we're setting ourselves up for this to happen again. And next time, they'll be better organized to take out their target. This was their first attempt, and look how close they've gotten. They win, always. How many times do Republican politicians cave to the left? Constantly. She moves down to say, if we don't stand up to them now, at this time, over this injustice, we may as well just concede the presidential election to them going forward. It has to stop. The people involved in it have to be held accountable, and justice must be served in order to protect our republic. And, of course, she's right, Cheryl. You're right about that. I want to read this to you from Nola. Nola says, she says, I continue to listen to you faithfully, sadly, with great frustration. Many of the people I know don't want to listen to the truth. I have over 700 Facebook friends, and I post a lot of political stuff. Very few respond, but I keep on posting with the hope that many are reading them. Also, I find many of my Christian friends do not want to engage with me when it comes to politics, including some of my own children. And I'm going to pause to ask you a question. Why? I think you probably would all say that. I would say that too. And I think the question is why? Why do your friends and neighbors and family members not want to know or hear about what's going on in the country? Why do they not want to discuss it? They don't want to know about it, especially Christians? What is the explanation? I mean, good ones, bad ones. I'm curious to know what you think. If you were to analyze it, what do you think the reason is? Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. She goes on to say, even her husband wishes sometimes she would not listen to me and to AFR so much. Shouldn't every person in this country be passionate about where our government's taking us? For many years now, my constant prayer request before our Father, God, has been, please raise up godly men and women to serve this country and thwart the plans of those who seek to destroy it. I'm now praising him because I think he's beginning to answer our prayers. We must have faith and believe change is coming. If it does not, this rolling ball is just going to get bigger and bigger until it can't stop. Let us all begin to praise God for what he is doing. He's been waiting on us to believe and trust. It is time for us to stop asking him to thwart the plans of the enemy within and to start praising him for what he is doing. Thank you, Nolo. Those were very interesting comments. But I want to zero in on her question or her statement that she continues to post things and try to make points, but people don't respond. And she said many of her Christian friends don't want to engage when it comes to politics. And she said even some of her own children. I want to know why that is, you think. Why do you think that is? Our phone number is 888-589-8840. And just a few other miscellaneous email from people who commented on stuff we've talked about this week. Ed writes to say he is an educator, and he said, I had suggested earlier this week that we have our kids, our grandkids, our uncles, our whoever, people that we know, should go into journalism. We need to have really good minds, honest people going into journalism. So he says, I have a Vietnam veteran friend whose daughter several years ago enrolled in Ball State University's journalism school and had to change majors because of the left-wing faculty and many students. They made her life miserable. So that's his experience with that. And this is another one. This is interesting. This is from Kathy on Facebook. She said, you might not have heard, and I have not heard about this, so I'm going to put this out there in case you all have more information on this and can call in. She said, I witnessed something in Grand Rapids, Michigan. A prominent CEO of a local charity tweeted falsely about the Trump rally attendees and then deleted it after it went viral. And I don't know what she's talking about. Do you guys know? Anybody know from Michigan? Somebody watched, I guess, you know, the president came to Grand Rapids and did a rally. So Kathy says that a prominent CEO of a local charity tweeted falsely about the Trump rally attendees and then deleted it after it went viral. What is she talking about? I didn't have time to check on that because I was just reading this morning. So if you know, let me know. This is from Bob. He says, Sandy, I have a PhD in geology from Virginia Tech, and I heard your brief segment about man-made up global warming. Colleges are already taking required hours away from core major hours and replacing them with global warming classes. The 97% figure is from a graduate student survey where the students sent a survey to geologists who were overwhelmingly against man-made up global warming. So she whittled down her data until she got the 97% figure, and Democrats have used it ever since. But you and I and other conservative Christians telling each other this does nothing as long as Democrats are in control of the 80 million K through college kids at any time. The only solution is for pastors who are not exempt from stewardship of the nation God gave them to speak. If you give them a pass and everyone else does as well, then on your show, my posts and everything else is no more than arranging deck chairs on the Titanic. Silence has been the pastor's order of the day for 65 years. Have you noticed the consequences we're suffering from that? Well, that's a good point, Bob. It is a good point. So that kind of goes to that question, why Christians, and maybe we could even add pastors, are so reticent to talk about things that are going on in the world and in the nation that a lot of people label politics. Why is there an avoidance about talking about that? 888-589-8840 is the number. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's go first to Texas. Talk to Scott. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. I just wanted to share a thought with you, Sandy, about Vice President Biden.
Okay.
Being a public elected official, when he's out in public at these events, that's his job. And the way I look at his behavior is it doesn't matter what a nice guy or how affectionate he is. If I were to do that behavior in my workplace consistently, I would not last because of the sexual harassment laws that are in place and policies where I work. So I don't think it's fair to have a double standard or to excuse his behavior because it doesn't matter how nice or affectionate he is. What matters are the actions.
You know, that's a good point, Scott. I mean, that really is an excellent point. And surely Joe Biden wants to appear young and hip. All right. And I think in many ways he does look a lot younger than his age, and he maybe is a lot hipper than his age might dictate. Surely, how could he not know that CEOs and executives do not behave that way? You know, that is just not common behavior publicly. As you said, these are public events, at least we're seeing. You know, we got lots of videos of what he's done publicly. Heaven knows what he's done privately. And so that's an excellent point. Thank you, Scott. Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Linda. Good morning, Linda.
Oh, hi, Sandy. This goes back to last week, your good commentaries last week, and I kept waiting to hear you say something about Seth Rich. What do you know about him?
Well, I know a lot about him. You mean something current, or you mean something in the past?
Okay, now, was he not the one murdered on the street?
Yes, he was the DNC staffer who was murdered in the early morning hours on the seats of the streets of Washington, D.C. He was the one who actually had control over the DNC server. He was one of many who had access to that, and nothing was stolen from him. And the investigation had a real cloud over it. The murder was never solved, and some people think that Seth Rich was on his way to deliver the information on the DNC server and what was contained in it. That's Seth Rich. I don't exactly know where you're going with this, Linda, but I have to take a break. Sandy Rios in the morning. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Back with your phone calls right after this.
A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. After his staged hate crime hoax revelation, actor Jussie Smollett was indicted by a Cook County grand jury for 16 felony charges related to the false allegations. The Chicago Police Department's thorough investigation provided the evidence for Smollett's criminality. Initially, Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox announced she recused herself from the case due to her close interactions with members of the Smollett family. After his indictment, Fox's office dismissed all of the charges. While defending the dismissals, Fox said she never formally recused herself. Chicago justice is a strange thing, isn't it?
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Coming up on the next Parenting Today's Teens with Mark Gregston.
When your child reaches their teen years, it's important for you to shift your parenting style to accommodate the new needs of your adolescent. Give your teen some room to make mistakes. I promise they'll learn from poor choices, just as you did when you were their age.
Just a sample of what you'll hear when you join us for Parenting Today's Teens with Mark Gregston.
Saturday afternoon at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio.
Brian Fisher here. Pete Buttigieg is an up-and-coming star in the Democratic Party and a candidate for president. He's also an out-loud and proud homosexual. This forces a conversation about where the Republican Party is headed on the issue of homosexuality. The GOP is sending confusing signals about their willingness to embrace the LGBT agenda as part of their mythical big tent. But the more parts of the LGBT agenda the party embraces, the more evangelicals will be pushed out of the back of the tent. Now, my objection to a homosexual candidate is not so much about his sexual orientation, but about his sexual politics. The LGBT agenda represents the single greatest threat to religious liberty in American history. It's time for the Republican Party to declare itself unambiguously on its view of the LGBT agenda so everybody in America knows where Republicans stand.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Hateful divisions afflict our society and politics. The Southern Poverty Law Center has made over $500 million purportedly documenting the sources of such hate. Increasing numbers of Americans have begun to learn what has long been evident to those of us the SPLC has viciously accused of promoting hatred and bigotry. Far from being an objective and honest monitor of such phenomena, the organization is itself a prime contributor to them. Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton recently requested that the Internal Revenue Service investigate this political warfare machine's tax-exempt status, noting that, quote, the SPLC's defining characteristic is to fundraise off of defamation. While IRS guidance lists several examples of tax-exempt purposes, engaging in defamation as a business model is, of course, not one of them, unquote. Those who amplify and legitimate hate-mongering by the discredited SPLC must cease and desist or be complicit in it. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Yeah, I need to piggyback off of what Frank was just saying. Yes, I told you yesterday that Tom Cotton has now opened an asked to have an investigation opened by the IRS into the tax status of the Southern Poverty Law Center for all the reasons I said yesterday and Frank said today. And in addition to that, today in the Montgomery, Alabama Advertiser newspaper, there will be an open letter to Southern Poverty Law Center and its donors talking about cleaning out their shameful behavior, talking about their fundraising efforts. You know, we've told you they are worth $500 million, and yet they call themselves a charity. Also, American Family Association, along with others, have sent a letter now to members of the news media, calling them to account for using the SPLC as their arbiter for hate groups. And then last but not least, 25 leaders have signed a letter sent out to tech giants, urging them to cut ties with the SPLC. We'll say more about that, but I just wanted you to know that there is a tremendous effort going on right now to stop this behemoth, which is in Montgomery, Alabama, which has caused so much heartache for conservatives and difficulties, and really probably has pushed the bounds of legality for a long time. And so that's what you call a fight. That's what should be happening over this Russian collusion thing. But this is what, when people put their heads together and try to fight back, this is what it looks like when they try to fight back in the right way. And by the way, we talked about the SPLC at length last Friday in our show, so we posted on Facebook twice. And if you'd like to check that out, you can find it and listen to the show, and that will help you come up to snuff with where they are and what they're doing. By the way, we're getting ready to have our spring share-a-thon in, well, it's April 23rd to the 25th, and we love hearing from you. Love your stories about why you listen to AFR, why you like it, what it is you enjoy, how you started listening, whatever your story is. And that we have a listener story line that you can call in. It will give you prompts, and they'll make it very easy for you to share your story. And you can stop and restart if you make a mistake. So it's the phone number is this. You got a pencil? Hope you're not driving. Here it is. It's 877-876-8893. 877-876-8893. All right. I was going to go back to Linda about, she asked me about Seth Rich, and I don't know where she was headed, but we lost her. So, Linda, maybe sometime we can have another conversation, or maybe you can email me or Facebook me. All right. Let's go to, let's go to Robert. Is it Robert in Arkansas? Is that right? It says, on my screen, it says Robe, but I'm thinking it might be Robert. Is this Robert?
This is Robert. Robert's work, I guess.
Good morning. Only when your mother's mad at you.
Good morning,
So what's on your mind, Robert?
It just seems to me like everything that's going on has been going on for a long time, and it's happened over and over. I mean, we can see where the Jews started out with Gideon and Samuel for somebody to rule and judge over them. And it's a part of the heart, I think. And socialism, I've read a lot on it, and it's kind of hard for me to wrap my head around because it's like Christianity. It's huge. So I have to rename it. And what I renamed it was Central Planning System or Commission. But it just seems to me that if you give somebody the ability to advocate resources or income, I just don't see how you can hang on to the things that you have the choice, occupation, where to live, when to have a family. I mean, income dictates all these things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I mean, and that's a great name, Central Planning Commission. That's an excellent name, Robert, and you've really spelled it out well. And how old are you? Can a girl ask a guy how old he is?
Yeah.
How old are you?
39.
Okay, So Robert, you came up just short of the time when you would have really experienced what the Soviet Union was like. You read, but you really didn't experience it like some of us are older have. And so I think it's really interesting that you have started reading about this, and you really do have a very good grasp on this. It's about government control of everything. You know, when they talk about, again, the European model, like, let's be like Sweden, let's be like France. Those are capitalistic economies. They are not socialistic. The government doesn't own everything there, which is what socialism is. So you've congratulations on taking responsibility to actually look into that and educate yourself. So thanks a lot, Robert. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Cheryl in Ohio. Good morning, Cheryl.
Oh, good morning, Sandy.
Oops, you sound like you're on speaker. Cheryl, take me off speaker, okay?
I will.
Okay, thank
I'm sorry,
you.
I was cleaning my bathroom while I was waiting.
Okay, well.
Gotta make those minutes count, right?
Yeah, you know what I miss? Okay, this is important. You know what I miss? Remember we used to clean our houses and the products smelled really good so that when you cleaned your house, it smelled so nice. And now because of this, whatever they have done, they've taken all the good smell out of cleaning.
Well, you're right. And when somebody came in the house, they knew that you had been cleaning all day. Your
yes.
effort was appreciated.
Yes. Well, and me too. I loved it. I just, it smelled so fresh. I miss that. Okay, Cheryl. So, Cheryl, let's talk about the serious stuff. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, you had talked about why people don't want to get involved and respond and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any difference whether it's business or church or anything. There's always 5% that is going to be out there campaigning, voicing, whatever. There's always that 5% that's high energy and it's going to get people energized. Unfortunately, the left has that 5% that are in very high and visible areas, so they overwhelm us all the time, making us believe that there's nothing we can do as a single person. So when we put something out there on Facebook, like Nola said, get it out there. If they read it, it's in their brain. It's the truth, and it's out there.
Yeah.
You know, if we talk in our Sunday school, say it. We may not be the most liked in our class, but we're not here to please man. We're here to stand up for the Lord, and being a good steward in our politics or in any order of life is what he asks us to do. So I think the reason why people don't get involved, they're overwhelmed. They're overwhelmed with the left has put out there such a propaganda machine. And I am so irritated with the Republicans. I'm so irritated that they don't have the backbone to stand up and say, no, enough's enough.
Yeah, I know. Cheryl, let's go back to the other thing, because I think that's a very good point. I also think that it's been my experience that when I was younger, you never know who's watching and listening. I had that experience as a young girl when God called me young and just made me passionate early. And so sometimes I didn't win a lot of friends based on that, as you just attested to. But I found out later that people were watching and a lot of people were following. Even I had no idea. I had no idea. I don't mean following me. I mean following a good example that they saw in me. And so I think if we continue to just hold the line and be steadfast and speak the truth, courage breeds courage. And,
and
I'm
also,
with you. Yeah.
And also, Sandy, they do not teach history in school again. So history can reoccur.
Yeah,
and so
that's true.
As parents, we really ought to be teaching two things within our home. We should be teaching the Bible, and we should be teaching history. Because if you do not have a foundation for our founding fathers who were brilliant, God-led, I cannot believe that they were not God-inspired, and they were brilliant. And if you do not have that history of how the world wars came about, you're allowing it. This is why the new Green Deal is going to run over us if we don't start putting it on our cars. Stop it. If we don't scream out, stop it. You know, this is why socialism is taking such a hold.
Yep, exactly.
My son grew up in a Christian home. He was never a preacher kid. We're not preachers, but we never went to church, you know, and I mean every Wednesday and every Sunday and stuff like this. But he had a good foundation, and he's in the 20s, and he's like, well, I think a one-world currency would be good. I'm like, oh, no. No, you don't want a one-world currency. And it's like, my gosh, I thought you were fundamentally more alert than that.
Yeah,
so
but Cheryl, here's the thing. I've heard that. I've heard similar things from other parents, and I guess you have to think about the proportion. The amount of time that we spend with our kids teaching them and the amount of time that they are in public school, colleges and universities, listening to social media, listening, watching TV, videos, everything, the overwhelming propaganda, it makes it very hard. But I think parents, I don't think it's impossible. I've seen really good kids make their way through all of that, navigate through all of that, but not very many do. Honestly, the truth is not very many do. But you have some great points. I think your kids, likely, as God promised, they will return in their later years, they won't forget our teaching, and that's what we hope for. Thanks, Cheryl. Let's go to Kristen in Tennessee. Good morning, Kristen. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning. Hi,
yeah.
Sandy.
Hi. What's on your mind?
First, I just want to say I love your show. I listen to it every morning, and you keep me informed. So,
Thank you.
And I wanted to answer your question about why people don't like to talk about politics. Overall, I think people just kind of feel frustrated.
Kristen, your phone. Can you? I don't know what we're. You're cutting in and out. Can you make sure your phone is real close, or your mouth is real close to the speaker?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
There you go.
Okay. Overall, I think most people are frustrated. You feel like your voice isn't really heard. Even, like, during the last voting cycle, you know, we kind of lost a little bit there. The Republicans did anyway, and that's just frustrating at the end of the day. So people kind of give up, I feel like, and just don't want to discuss it anymore because it's kind of a hard pill to swallow with some of the things going on in the world.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a discouragement and just this feeling of hopelessness, which we can't do. I think, you know, one thing that God requires of us as a person, as a character trait, is perseverance. And it talks about that. Not many of us, the way you get perseverance is by persevering, and it's not easy. It's a very difficult character trait, but that is something that God requires of us. Kristen, thank you. Let's go to Louise. Louise, if you can make it quick, I'm going to try to get to as many as I can. Why are people not getting involved, you think?
Is this Louise?
Louise, yes, this is Louise, yeah. I hope.
Okay, I'm sorry, you skipped out, and I couldn't hear what you said. Okay, the reason why I wanted to call is because I think people perish for lack of knowledge, and I think that there's plenty of information out there. Look at just listening to AFR all the time. I try to take advantage of taking one step at a time, like listening to AFR. I have volunteered for the CPC, the Crisis Pregnancy Center. I try to do things like if I took my grandchildren to the CN plan. You just got to do with what you have in your world that you can control and what you can do a step at a time. I just didn't want my grandchildren to say to me someday, Grandma, why, when you had your freedom to speak, why didn't you? And I just want to just encourage people to keep on keeping on. Do what you can within your realm and talk to the people you have around you that you could talk to. But just know that you're not responsible for them, but yet you can keep on encouraging people and you keep on trying to walk your faith.
Yes,
and
good, Louise. Excellent. Excellent.
Pray.
Yes, excellent point. Let's go to Ken in Texas quickly, if you can, Ken.
Good morning, Sandy. Thank
you
for all you're doing. We appreciate your courage and all that you fill us in about.
Thank you, Ken.
I wanted to mention, Sandy, that my wife and I read a book called Witness by Whitaker Chambers about 20 years ago.
Yep.
And he revealed in that book exactly what's going on. When he told about the Communist Party building these apparatuses in the State Department, in Hollywood, and virtually in the media.
Yes.
And they never stopped.
No. You know what? Excellent, excellent point. And Whitaker Chambers, of course, was someone that Richard Nixon was affiliated with, and that's the reason why the left hated Richard Nixon so much. It's a story that most Americans have long forgotten. But you are absolutely right. The Witness by Whitaker Chambers. I recommend that to each and every one of you to understand what's going on now. I'm sorry I couldn't get to all the calls I wanted to, but I appreciate your comments. And just don't give up. Just keep persevering and just keep speaking the truth because it has a power in itself. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.